It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
A verse that I've had on my heart recently is Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." And with that verse, Psalm 127, verse 1, we welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. This is Fire Away Friday. We're going to open up the phone lines. We want to hear from you with your Bible question. Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper, and you are listening to the American Family Radio Network. The number is 888-589-8840, and it's Fire Away Friday. Bert, I always love this show, in all the shows, but to talk with everybody and just to fellowship with people across America, it's pretty special, isn't it?
It is special, and we have the privilege of doing that and communicating with them and sharing with them. And we look forward to that today. So make that call. We already get in phone calls, and we'll have them, and we'll have them lined up. And then when that one drops off, we'll have another one on. So we're looking forward to it, Alex. And I just praying God would bless the hour and people's lives would be changed because of Jesus Christ and what he has done, can do, and will do, brother.
Well, speaking of fellowshipping with very special people, I want to give a big shout out to the place where I am. I am at First Baptist Church of Dillon, South Carolina. Pastor Jamie Arnett, just a dear brother, and we have a lot of listeners in the Dillon area, you know, well throughout South Carolina and Wilmington down the eastern seaboard, but they're just wonderful, and I'm traveling, and I called up Pastor Arnett. And so I'm doing the show. I've got the Comrex, and I'm in his offices here at First Baptist Dillon. And if you're ever down this way, folks, great church, great ministry, great pastor, and certainly a friend of this program.
Amen. Well, I'm glad Dillon is a great place. One of our, we have radios all over, station. That's one of them. Hey, we've got people online. Are you ready to go to the boards and answer the questions, Alex?
Fire Away Friday begins.
Okay, let's go to Ohio, and in Ohio, we have Lori. Yeah, Lori. Lori, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, Bert and Alex.
Good to have you. What part of Ohio are you from, Lori?
I'd say southwestern.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, it's great. I definitely am a believer in Jesus, and I'm kind of nervous here. When is it the person that you, I know we need to tell others about Jesus, but when is it their responsibility to seek him out if the Lord draws him for the hurry, of course?
Great question. Great evangelism, missional program. Let me share this experience with you, Lori, and Alex, you can respond. As pastor, we did several training conferences on witnessing and sharing your faith. And one of the things we always knew was God goes before us. God goes before us in the person of the Holy Spirit, preparing the heart of those who would hear and then praying that they would respond. Let me share with you. The Holy Spirit is always going to do his job. He's always, remember that scripture in John where he's coming into the world to convict and draw, do all the things. He's always done that. So if we share the truth, it becomes that person's responsibility to respond to it. The Holy Spirit's going to do his part by drawing him, and we've done our part by sharing the truth. And everybody, you remember what it says, Alex? They're going to stand before God without excuse.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to stand before God and say, "But God, this has happened." No, every person is responsible, aren't they?
They are. You know, that's Romans 1:20. And, of course, the Bible says this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And Romans 1:20 says that because of the creation, from the creation of the world, it says the invisible things of God are known. In other words, creation had to have a creator. Our conscience, our moral law had to come from a moral lawgiver. And so everybody knows. Now, this is the balance that we who have found Christ, we really do have a calling, an obligation. I would say a privilege, really, to tell others about Christ. But everybody listening, you know, the Holy Spirit is continually calling out. And do you remember, I'll say this, and Jesus had said to the people in his day that he said, you know, you resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. That was Acts. In the book of Acts, remember Jesus said, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised, always resisting the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. In other words, the Holy Spirit is calling, and sometimes people procrastinate, ignore, and this is dangerous, Bert. Sometimes people actively suppress the knowledge they have about God. So turn to God, and while we want everybody saved, Bert, if we've shared the gospel and prayed with people, pled with people, we really are absolved of guilt. I mean, we've done what humanly we can do, haven't we?
We have. The sermons I used to hear growing up, don't have blood on your hands. In other words, you make sure and you share Christ with those who you come in contact with. Give an answer. Hey, Lori, thank you. Let's go next to Buddy in Texas. Buddy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Howdy.
Hello, man, that's a Texan for you. Howdy. Yeah. Love it. Go ahead, Buddy.
And y'all is a word.
You're right. Y'all is a real word.
That's right.
All right.
I've listened to your program and love it. I've heard y'all talking about the rapture and whether it will happen before or during the tribulation.
Yes, we've discussed that many times.
Well, I believe just as sure as history repeats itself, if we study the Old Testament, when the prophets come to light is during the tribulations, and things get so bad that, the king has to call out the prophet, and then the Lord shows up, turn from your ways, and I'll forgive you, and we can start over. But I believe that the prophets spoken of in the Revelations won't come in until it's so bad, which I believe will be during the middle of the tribulation.
Okay, buddy. Thank you. It's not a disclaimer. It is an agreement that Alex and I want to share with this. In the area of eschatology, you better have some grace in what you say. Mm-hmm. The grace doesn't come in when we say Jesus Christ is coming back physically. He's coming back, and we know he's going to make things right. Now, there's some debate on exactly how, when he'll do that. But, Alex, I know what Buddy says. I've got some dear friends. They're mid-trib people. They believe Christ come back in the middle of it. You know, the great tribulation is the last 3.5 years. But, again, Revelation, others, I think the evidence, the greater amount, that's just, let me say it that way, the greater amount is pre-trib rapture. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, the death of prophets occurs during the pouring out of a third bowl. Let me just say this. There are three series of seven judgments each that take place during the tribulation. And, there's seals and there's trumpets and there's bowls, or B-O-W-L-S, like a big bowl of something. And, there's first, second. Well, during the third bowl, this is in Revelation chapter 16, really Revelation 16, 4 through 7, the third bowl judgment is poured into the rivers and the springs of waters, and all the fresh water on earth is turned to blood. But within that third bowl of wrath is God's answer to the martyrs' prayers to be avenged. Now, who were the martyrs? The, quote, the blood of saints and prophets who had died from persecution for standing for the truth. And the righteous judgment of God is revealed in this act that the world is judged. So the caller mentioned prophets during the tribulation. There are prophets that are going to be proclaiming the truth of salvation, and the Antichrist and his armies will kill many of them. And so I will say this, Jesus is coming back, and we don't exactly know when, but Christ is coming. But there are prophets you can listen to now, and those, by that I mean the prophets who are faithfully forth-telling the truth of how to be saved. Do you know, if you're a pastor preaching the gospel, in a biblical sense, you're a prophet because you're speaking God's truth. Am I right, Bert?
You are right. And if you look at the Old Testament, you'll find out there's more forth-telling than foretelling. Now, there's
correct.
A combination, but there's more talking about the conditions and what they do. I'm just reading through Jeremiah. You know, that's what I'm doing on my own devotional time, reading in Jeremiah. And I would just say he had a lot to say. He did have some promises, but he had more warnings about what they were. So thank you, buddy, for your call. We're going to stay in Texas and go to Judy. Judy, welcome to Exploring the Word. Judy, are you there?
Alex. I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on. Yes. Go right ahead.
Welcome.
Awesome. Thank you. I had a question in regards to Jesus when he was speaking to Apostle Peter in Matthew 16:19, I believe. And he was talking about what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So my question is, you know, from the pulpit, what I hear is, you know, there's different references, but what I hear is as far as, you know, doing things that are wrong or treating people in the wrong way, that whatever you loose and bound here will be allowed in heaven. And I have a hard time understanding that. Can you explain that to me?
Okay, Judy, thank you. We haven't got a lot of time. So, Alex, let me just say this. This is one of those passages mm-hmm. that is more difficult. I've heard it the same way, Judy, many ways. But let me read the verse before this, Alex, and you take mm-hmm. it away, because I believe it is connected. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Alex, sounds like something about preaching anyway, giving the keys to knowing the truth, doesn't it?
Yes. Among other things, I mean, it does mean that the words of the apostles carry authority. And it means that the words of the church today, as long as we're speaking the word of God and the truth of God, carries authority as well. All right, let me give you an example. When Paul pronounced an anathema, Galatians 1:8, on those who pervert the gospel, then we know that that anathema was already declared in heaven. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't mean that the disciples could change God's mind, but let me just say it means that truth carries authority in heaven and accountability on earth. So we need to tell the world more than ever the hard truth of God's word.
His word is settled in heaven. We need to find out and agree with God down here. We'll be back with more of your questions on Fireway Friday on Exploring the Word. Stay tuned.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Gary Racicot, Assistant Secretary for the Department of Homeland Security's Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction Office. He works to protect our country and promote readiness for chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear threats. 2 Timothy 4:18 reminds us of God's love and protection. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Gary Racicot as he works to keep our country safe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Wedding vows tell us that our spouse is there to have and to hold. But Dr. Tony Evans says God has an even bigger agenda for husbands and wives, and that neither one was designed to carry it out alone. He talks about the importance of doing your part as a man or a woman as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When it comes to being God's man in the home, it means that you not only provide for your family physical food, but you provide for your family spiritual food. And a husband fails when he is not the spiritual head of the home. It is not enough to bring home the bacon. You've got to bring home the book. Because as strong as a man is, no man has it all. The brother needs all the help he can possibly get. He needs help. If you can do it all by yourself, you don't need a wife. The whole reason you need a wife is you're not as good as you think you are. I'm not as good as I think I am. The moment a man says to his wife, I don't need you, you just left God. Because God says it is not good for you to try to pull off my agenda by yourself. You need somebody to come alongside and add what you are lacking. And if you really want to make a lady feel significant, let her know that you can't be the man God called you to be without her being the woman God called her to be. And if she'll ever be God's woman, so you can be God's man, you can be God's family.
Learn more about what a man's responsibility involves and how to carry it out. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man, for yourself, your brother, uncle, husband, father, teenage son, or your church study group. Visit us at tonyevans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Men. That's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I've always said that the Democrats are the party of racism. Hello, I'm Walker Wildman, host of Exposing Washington. Two Democratic senators proved my point this week. Senator Mazie Hirono and Senator Tammy Duckworth both said they will not support any more white, straight males as Biden nominees. Tune in Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
As we go.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex with you on this Friday, Fryaway Friday. Now, next Friday is going to be a real, real special day, Alex. It's great on the Christian calendar. Most people call next week, a lot of times, Holy Week, but Good Friday. And so the offices will be here. So we want people to listen in because we're going to have a special program for Good Friday. We're looking forward to that, aren't we?
Well, we are, and of course, the resurrection of Christ. I mean, this is the Mount Everest of biblical truth.
Amen.
I mean, because Jesus rose, physically rose from the dead. He did something nobody else could do. He conquered death. And we've often said this, that the resurrection proves the man and the message. Who was he? What did he teach? The Son of God, the way of salvation. And we're going to talk about the resurrection because, Burton, no other belief system can make that claim.
Amen.
That their founder raised from the dead, only Christianity.
Paul said it well. If there is no resurrection, we're of men most miserable. We stand on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And listen, the cross, the burial, the resurrection, the gospel of Christ, it is real. And if you don't know him today, I'm going to give you a number that you can call. You've got our number that you can call us, but there's a number. If you feel convicted of your sin, you're saying, man, I need help. I need to ask questions concerning my soul about eternity. 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. We partner with these guys. We love our ministering partners here at AFR. We really do. We got some of the greatest partners working together with the gospel that we know about. And that is one of them. 888-NEED-HIM. Call them up and make sure this Easter you know the real meaning. And you're not just going through it. You're not just attending church to get it off your list. And let's say this to the Christians. You know, last Easter it was still, quote, lockdown. Less,
yes.
if you can, I'm just going to use my vernacular.
Let's overflow the
churches.
Let's
do it. I was going to say blow the lid off of it. Yes, I agree. Overflow. Be there. Celebrate what Jesus has done. And let them know church is back. And that's what we want. It's Palm Sunday, isn't it, Alex?
It is this Sunday. And you know what? I was on The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson earlier today. It was my privilege to sit in for E.W. Jackson. And I opened that show by reading from Zechariah 9:9. Now, just think about this. Zechariah was written hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, and yet it is a picture of Palm Sunday. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion, shout, behold, your king comes unto you, just and having salvation, riding on a donkey. And Jesus rode in a donkey, the transportation of the lowly, the poor, a man of peace. Now, he'll come back on a white stallion, a white horse. But Palm Sunday, we commemorate that Christ rode into Jerusalem, proclaimed himself as Messiah. The people said, Hosanna, but only days later they would be shouting, crucify him. And so this is very, very significant. And one last thought here. If you're listening to the show, and I know many do, and you know about God, but you've not yet made that commitment to be a follower of Christ. When we talk about Palm Sunday and the crucifixion and the empty tomb, this is reality. And this is historical. Bert, I was interviewing an attorney for one of our books, and he said, you know, in a court of law, there is what's called the propensity of evidence. He said, but that's really only like 51%. But then in a court of law, there's what's called beyond a reasonable doubt. And this attorney said to me, he said, regarding Jesus and the resurrection, he said, as a lawyer, I would say it is beyond a reasonable doubt. Hallelujah. This is real.
Amen. And we're praying. You know him. I'm just testifying of, let me just share how many years, 56 years of walking with Christ. It is real. He's a friend that stays closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He won't forsake you. He goes with you through the thick and the thin, and he is all we need for life and liberty in Christ Jesus. So I pray you know him. Well, Alex, we got the phone lines. Let's get to as many as we can and answer these questions. And we're going to Mississippi. And first, yes, and we're going to talk to John. John, welcome to Exploring the Word. John, are you there? Yeah, go right ahead. You're on the radio.
I have a question. I listen to the show a lot. This is concerning congressmen, senators, and abortionists. I know the churches are the most powerful thing in the world. I have one question, though. Why do they not unite, protest, and stop what's happening?
Okay. John, let me just share with you. When you look back, I don't mind that question, and I love it, and I wished I could say we're doing it. But even in early church, the book of the church at Corinth, Alex, the first problem that Paul answered was division within the church. Mm-hmm. They were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm a Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. I agree with you, John. I'd ask the same questions. Why? Alex and I do our best to do this, Alex. We've made this plain. We want to look at what is vital, what is important, the resurrection of Christ, Scripture being authoritative and accurate in Word God-breathed, the family being the one that God ordained. You know, but a lot of churches can't even agree on that anymore, you know?
I know. And, you know, the caller makes a great point. The church potentially, yes, is the most powerful force in the world. That's why, you know, you read in John 17, Jesus prayed for unity, for us to be one. So people might say, well, you know, around what might we possibly unify? The Word of God. Here's the thing. Regardless of the denomination, regardless of the structure of the church, if your body of believers says we're going to yield ourselves fully to the Word of God, then we would unify, and it would change the world overnight. Bert, I believe if the 2 billion plus followers of Jesus united in truth and love, it would change the world with amazing speed.
Well, let me just tell you, usually what gets us together is difficulty and tribulation and hardship.
Persecution.
Persecution brings it together. So we may be looking at that as harsh as it is. Just seek the Lord. Hey, Alex, let's pray for that. Would you mind leading us in prayer? John said that.
What a great question.
I think we should pray and ask God to do that work in our lives. Would you, brother?
Well, thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, Lord, we pray for unity within the body of Christ. And Lord, we know this is your will. It says so in the Bible. And Lord, we know the Holy Spirit of God unifies believers. So I pray right now, Lord, right now, that everyone who is a believer in Jesus, and Lord, we do thank you for Palm Sunday. Lord, our heart is pained when we think about how they accused you, they beat you, they put a crown of thorns, they nailed you to a cross, and the pain of that we can't even comprehend. But we acknowledge you did it in love, and Lord, we thank you for the love of Calvary's cross. We thank you for the blood that washes our sin away. And so, Lord, following you, trusting in you, we ask for unity. And Lord, I pray that we would, like Ephesians says, we would come up into the knowledge of the Word as one. So, Father, around this world, because, Lord, the mountains are too tall for us to climb, secularism and unbelief, and just we're living in a time of really enforced immorality. So, dear Jesus, for the sake of your kingdom, the Great Commission, and the salvation of lost souls, the honor, the glory of your name, unify the church and let it begin right now with each one of us. And Lord, I commit myself to try to unify believers. May every one of us say that we're committed to Christ, we're committed to the Bible, and we're committed to the church. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, John. Let's go.
What
to,
an honor.
Yes, it was. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Josh. Josh, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
You're loud and clear. Hey, what part of Tennessee are you from, Josh?
Jackson, Tennessee.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know was the second station on the network. We had our flagship station here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and the second one was Jackson, Tennessee. I love that.
A
I love that
city.
Town. I love it. What's your question, Josh?
Yeah, I'm actually calling on here for two reasons. First of all, this is a good way for me to tell others what has happened, but also to get your take on this. I have been given a dream, and I know this dream was from God. I know it is. This is very important. And it has changed my life forever. Absolutely forever. And I'll be quick because I know you guys have limited time and other callers. But there's this two-part kind of dream. There, I saw this man leaned up against a wall. And I heard a voice say, "That's Enoch." Okay, so I woke up. I knew it was a message. I could see the spelling of the word Enoch, E-N-O-C-H. And now, I've been a Christian my whole life, but I've never known who Enoch was. And, of course, I went to bed that night praying that God would let me know why we're seeing a lot of things going on in this country. And so I wrote it down on paper so I wouldn't forget the name, and I looked it up the next day, and it's a whole book of the Bible that was never put in there, and it sheds a lot of light on fallen angels and their manipulation on the human race. And
go ahead and make your point real quick, because we've had this about the Enoch book.
Hey, let me jump in
ahead.
Here, Bert, if I might,
go
for,
ahead.
For a moment.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this relates to canonicity. There is an ancient book called the Book of Enoch. Now, there was a man in the Bible. Well, actually, there were several men in the Bible named Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, and he was really kind of raptured up to heaven. and this is back in the book of Genesis. But there is a historical book called the Book of Enoch that it's not a missing book that was supposed to be in the Bible but isn't. The Old Testament canon, Genesis through Malachi, the Jewish people were just meticulous about preserving their scriptures. And so the Book of Enoch, you know, it has content that is interesting, but it is not scripture as in the inspired Word of God, Genesis through Revelation. So just be careful when you see there'll be ads in, you know, the back of the tabloids talking about the, quote, lost books of the Bible. They're historical documents that were long since known about, but they were, by the Jews or the early church, never cited as scripture.
Josh, I've learned this, and I had to go through those in school, not to try to believe them, but to let others see it, and the difference is amazing between that. But if you believe in the inspiration of scripture, I believe with all my heart, Josh, Alex, you got to believe in the collection that God did and preserved what he wanted and put in there what he wanted. And I believe that with all my heart, Josh. But Enoch, look at the Enoch there in the book of Genesis. Study his life. The thing that it says, he walked with God. And I don't know about your dream or anything, but if I hear the name Enoch in a dream or see it, I'd say, man, Bert, you need to walk with God. And I'm not trying to diminish anything, but I'd say that is a sure word. That is a sure word. Thank you, Josh, and praise the Lord for Jackson, Tennessee, a great city. Hey, next we're going to go to Kansas and talk to Larry. Larry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. It's a pleasure to talk with you. You're my favorite program.
Well, thank you. Hey, we love to hear that. thank you, Larry. Go ahead.
Well, I read in Isaiah 10, verse 22, and actually it's the end of the verse that really caught my attention. But it says, I don't know if you have that before, though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. So that part at the end, a destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness, that just struck me. And I'm wondering, was that related just to Israel, or does it speak to the end times?
Okay, remember what you do, and I try to do this each time. When you find one scripture and it sticks out to you, underline it, dwell on it, but go back and read a little bit what's before it and after, see where it's at. And this is talking about the remnant of Israel, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, and there's a destruction of Assyrians. And, you know, a lot of the Old Testament prophecies, there are specific things for the people of that day. And then there are general principles that I think are applicable throughout history. You know, Bert and I have been in the book of Nehemiah for some time, and we'll probably wrap that up Monday and or Tuesday. But there were Assyrians that opposed Israel then, and Arabs. And let me say, the general principle from Isaiah 10, there will be a remnant saved. There still will be Middle Easterners that fight Israel. God will judge them, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those are some timeless principles, aren't they?
They are. God will always have some of his people at the right time, at the right place. Always remember that. We'll be back with more right after the break.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training. Here's another of our core values. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values. And we thank you for your support.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Whenever I hear the federal government is going to give something to someone, I reflexively clutch my wallet, because the federal government doesn't generate money in its own right. So whenever they give something, it always comes from you and me, the taxpayers. The Biden administration has signaled that it will introduce a gradual tax increase to help pay for his spending initiatives, including COVID stimulus payments. How would Americans feel if they knew the stimulus payments they may receive today will only be followed by increases in their federal income taxes tomorrow?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Dr. Stephen Rummage with today's Moving Forward Minute. Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." I usually wear sunscreen when I plan to be outside in the summer, but if I'm out for a while unexpectedly, I can get sunburned really quickly. And when that happens, I don't have to tell anybody that I've been in the sun. They can just tell. Well, you can tell when you abide in Jesus, because apart from abiding in him, you can do nothing that's really important to God. But when you abide in him, he'll enable you to do all kinds of things beyond what you can even imagine. He'll produce fruit in your life that you can't produce on your own. When you abide in Jesus and he abides in you, you can tell, and so can others. For more resources, visit movingforwardradio.org.
Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central for Moving Forward right here on AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
We are back on Exploring the Word. The number to call in with your Bible question is 888-589-8840. And Bert, we're going to go to the calls, but I've got a favor to ask everybody. I need you to do something for me, and that's listener testimonies. Share-a-thon is coming up in April, and we hear so often people say Exploring the Word has made a difference in your life, and we give God the glory for that. We sincerely praise God for that. But Bert, when people call in and record a testimony, it really does mean a lot to encourage us and to keep us going, doesn't it?
It does. I love Share-a-thon. I'm usually on with Dan C in the morning, and then they let us do 2 hours in the afternoon, and I love it and enjoy it, but my favorite part are the listener testimonies. And you can call that number, 877-876-8893, 877-876-8893. Prepare and have about a minute to 2 minute testimony and share what AFR means to you. And Alex and I, we really enjoy those that talk about Exploring the Word. We hear you say it all the time, said how much you enjoy it, what it did. So call in and let others hear about it as well. But you can do that. And the Share-a-thon, by the way, is April 13th, 14th, and 15th. That's a Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And it's a great, great week. We look forward to it. So make that call and hear and share your testimony of what God has done through the ministry of AFR. It's not what AFR has done, but what God has done through AFR. 877-876-8893. And we're going to go to the phone lines right now, and we're going to go to John. And let me get that up. I forget that I'm doing this. John in Oklahoma. John, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you very much. Enjoy you guys' show, and I really appreciate your knowledge, and it helps a lot. And so this is a question not to start an argument. It's really for knowledge. I hear so many people talking today, everybody thinks, you know, the rapture and the tribulation, and they all just speak with just such great confidence about what's going to happen. And one of the scriptures that's always kind of bothered me that I can't wrap around, and I was going to ask you guys just your thoughts on it, but in Matthew 13, you know, Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares and how it was going to be when the Lord returned, and gives an indication that he says, you know, I'm going to take the basically the bad guys out first, then I'll come harvest my people. And it's just something that's always never really matched up with what I hear, and I just wondered if you guys had a comment or some instruction on that verse, on that, what he's talking about there.
Okay, thank you so much, John. I appreciate your spirit. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, this is a great question, and frankly, it's really sobering. And the Matthew 13 is a really clear overview of history, really. Okay, here's basically what it's saying is that throughout history, there's a sowing of the Word of God. The Word of God is like a seed. How to be saved, and if that seed germinates and a person is born again, just endless blessings come from having given your life to Christ. But the Word of the Gospel is sown throughout all the ages. But Satan has intervened with sowing false seeds, untruth, distortions. Okay, there is the religious machinery of this world, and within the church, there are some true believers and some false believers. You know, there are people that go through the motions, but they're not truly born again. Now, there's also this treasure called Israel, and there is the church. But in the end of time, there's going to be a judgment with the unrighteous unbelievers excluded from God's eternal kingdom that is going to be inaugurated and initiated. And the righteous, the born again from all the centuries, will be taken into God's messianic kingdom to enjoy the blessings of salvation for all of eternity. So ask yourself, am I saved or lost? If you're saved, that's a wheat, a tare, T-A-R-E. That's a weed. That's grass. And just like the fruit is separated out from the seeds, you want to make sure that you're truly wheat. Now, wheat was used to make bread, and Jesus is the bread of life. So there's a lot of symbolism here, but the wheat and the tares and the true seed and the false seed, I think that's what Matthew 13 is referring to, Bert.
I agree, and there's always going to be a sifting. There's always going to be a division, the left and right, the sheep, the goats. You have the soils before this. If you remember the parable that he gave and the gospel going out and it landing on certain kinds of soil and the response to it. And listen, the whole idea, God is going to do the separation. That's the idea. We cannot. I hear it all the time. Well, they can't be a Christian. Listen, be careful how you say that. I don't know else how to say it. Alex, be careful. I don't understand sometimes how Christians come out with the views they have. I admit that. But when I start looking deeper than that, and I don't have the capacity to look at their heart, only God can. And the wheat and the tares, lets God knows. Do you remember when Judas and his part of the wheat company, but he wasn't wheat, you know, with the apostles?
Yeah.
And who knew that? Only Jesus knew. All the rest of them, they didn't know. They would have thought Judas's carrot was at the top of the list of being the ones that we're following. And so God is the one that decides. And listen, he can do it when he wants to. He can do it now. Or guess what, Alex? He can do it later on at the end.
Yeah.
It's his business. And all of my business is me get ready and me try to get as many ready as I can. Thank you so much, John. And I appreciate the spirit of your call. I just enjoy that kind of spirit that wants to at least look and learn, and we appreciate that. Next, let's go to Texas and talk to Dwayne. Dwayne, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, good to talk with you guys. I had a, you know, I may be dumb or whatever, but people tell me all the time, you know, to pray about things before you do them and stuff like that. And I've done that, but I really don't understand how God answers you.
Okay.
Can you explain that?
I thank you, Dwayne. Let me tell you two things, and Alex, you fill it in. Pray with an open Bible. By that I mean read scriptures, Dwayne. Out of them is wisdom. And you want to look for some godly counsel. You want to be. Now, Alex, try to picture this. This is how mm-hmm. I believe it should be in every person's life, man or women. But here I am, and I have somebody that goes before me. There's somebody that I admire, that I look to, that is deep in the Word of God, and they really help my life. And then I hope I'm mentoring someone. I've gotten mm-hmm. someone I'm pouring my life in. They're behind me. And then I find two individuals on either side that are kind of in my territory. They're people that are I work with them, I share with them, I go to church with them, and they're kind of where I am. And guess what? That hedges me in with some good counselor. The one that goes behind yes. me, the one before me, and the two beside me. And pray, Dwayne, with an open Bible. Read the Bible. Let God speak. I just want to tell you, I'm testifying to this more times than I could tell you. I was praying about something, and in reading the scripture, I found God's answer. Alex, go ahead.
Well, you know, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man is sharpened by the countenance of his friends. And really the wording means one person is sharpened by another. And do you know what? Very often fellow believers, and in my case, I think about you, Bert. I mean, I've learned so many things from you. I think about other people that have invested in my life. And sometimes we're the recipient of encouragement, guidance, blessing. Sometimes we help give to another brother or sister encouragement and guidance. And so isn't that one of the blessings, you know, admonition and correction and encouragement and insight and all these things we can name, isn't it part of the blessing of being in God's big family?
It is. Let me give you a scripture, Dwayne, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and
Amen.
He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's one of my prayer verses. It's one of my life verses. My job before anything else, and I ask or I seek, is delight myself in the Lord. I saturate myself in His care, in
Amen.
His love. And when I do that, here's what I found, Dwayne. My spirit and attitude gets right. And then I know more what to pray for, Alex. And
yes.
So anyway, Dwayne, thank you for that good call. We appreciate it so much. Let's go to Bob in Louisiana. Bob, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Alex and Bert.
Yes, sir.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you. It's not a real spiritual question, but I know the Bible talks about the oceans being removed when the new heavens and earth. But what about rivers, streams, or lakes? I thought I heard or read somewhere where the Jordan River was mentioned in the new earth, but I'm not positive on that.
Great question,
mm-hmm.
Bob.
No,
it is. Yeah. Alex, there's a stream, a river, going right down the middle of it with trees of life on either side up there somewhere, isn't there?
Well, there is a river,
yeah.
The streams of which make glad the city of God.
Amen.
And growing on the banks are the trees, the tree of life, and it says the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation. Now, in Revelation 21, there's a list of things that will be no more. It says he's going to wipe away every tear from every eye. And Revelation 21:1. Bert, I got to tell you, when I was a young believer, it kind of made me sad because it said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, I love the ocean. I really, really do. And so some have said that maybe there is this, because let me say this, the oceans as you now know them are the result of the flood of Noah. And the flood of Noah was the result of God's judgment on sin. So we know there's a river of life, you know, going right down through the middle of that holy city. Now, there might be lakes and oceans, but what a lot of people believe is there's no more sea like it is now, because as much as I love the vast ocean, and I do love water and I love fishing, but Bert, the seas as they exist now are due to the judgment of the flood of Noah. And we know the curse is removed. There's no more sin. There's no more judgment. So I think there's going to be bodies of water, but it won't be the bodies of water that exist as they are now on planet Earth.
I agree with you fully. And a lot of times in the sea is it represents confusion. You know,
yes.
It really does. Not only the judgment, but confusion. There's no more confusion in the new heavens, the new earth. No more confusion. Now, think about how awesome that is. Because even here, Alex, when we try to answer questions, and we've studied the Word, we've prayed, we've asked, okay, Lord, there's a little, what does this mean? No more confusion, and there'll be no more confusion. I really do believe it does have something to do with that, Bob. Thank you.
Exactly. And the beast came out of the sea.
He did. And that's right.
We need to do a show on that,
yeah.
But what the Bible says about the ocean.
That's right. Okay, Bob, thank you. Let's go to Alabama. I won't get my cursor right. Alabama, and go to Arthur. Arthur, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Miles, just in reference to a call earlier about the rapture and whatnot, and I hear a lot of talk about, you know, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Well, when I look in the book of Revelation, Revelation 4, of course, after the, the talk to the churches between 1 and 3, in Revelation 4, it begins immediately talking about a door open in heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, but you don't ever hear again until Revelation 19 about that door opening again, and that's when the Lord and all of the armies of Christ and the saints are coming down out of heaven. So I just wanted to comment on that. And then, you know, when you look in the Old Testament, God always preserved his people. I just heard, I believe Alex mentioned about Noah and the flood. They were rescued before the flood ever started. They were already in the ark multiple days before the first raindrop ever fell.
Yeah.
Same
mm-hmm.
like manner with Lot and his family. You know, God came down to Abraham with the angels and talked with Abraham and let him know what was going to happen. And they went, and the angels literally drug Lot and his family out to safety.
Amen. Hey, Arthur, yeah. You're preaching it. Alex,
you're right.
You're right on. Alex and I have used those same illustrations to bring that about. I do believe that. But again, let's be gracious in talking with others, making sure they're right and ready when he comes, whenever it is. Alex, that is the main message concerning future and eschatology is the promise that Jesus is coming back and making it right, and we need and better be ready.
Be ready, be faithful. You know, whether it's Galatians 5 or 1 John 2:28, be ready, be faithful, meet Christ unashamed. You know, one of the great Bible teachers of the last 50 years was the late Harold Wilmington, and he was a pre-trib believer. And he said, you know, when one country declares war on another country, one of the first things they do is bring their ambassadors out before war is declared. And, you know, let me just say this, folks, regardless of what your positions are on end times, if you're a believer in Jesus, we're family. We know Christ is coming back. Let's work together to tell the world how they can know him.
Amen. Do that. We're doing our best. We want to be a part of, you remember the Lord's army? And
yes.
Let's be a part of it. And let's march in step. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? As best we can, agree with Christ. Well, Alex, it's been a great week. Looking forward to next week, finishing up Nehemiah.
Hey, folks, go to church on Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. Try to take somebody with you. Bring them under the sound of the gospel. This wonderful Easter story. We thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Tell somebody about Exploring the Word. Most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.